Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. I, the Father, and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. You know, in any homily, a preacher is always preaching to himself and kind of letting everybody else listen in. It's especially true on Good Shepherd Sunday, because the Scriptures, and indeed the Church Fathers, both Old and New Testament, have a great deal to say about the role of shepherds and the importance of a shepherd caring for his flock. It's a very important concept, very important part of our Christian life. And indeed, that's what we come to together to talk about on Good Shepherd Sunday. You notice Jesus uses this illustration of the shepherd and the sheep often. And he also uses sometimes illustrations of farming. You know, the sower goes out to sow. And that's because in first century Palestine, except in rare occasions like, you know, large urban centers like Jerusalem, every family had a garden plot from which they fed their family. And they always kept several animals, usually half a dozen to a dozen sheep and goats that every family kept for milk and for wool, and on very rare occasions, meat. They didn't keep them for meat as much as for all those constant staples, because as we know, you can only eat a goat once, but you can milk him every day. So milk her every day. Yeah, that's the way it worked, isn't it? So they would always have these little animals. And in fact, the way homes in ancient Palestine were built is that the lower level was always the barn and the storeroom. That's where you kept your grains and your animals, and then the family lived on the upper level. And in fact, they usually slept on the roof because it's so hot there that was the coolest place for them to sleep. Just a touch of history there for you. So Jesus often uses these agrarian examples, and today he's talking about being a shepherd. Now, almost every child in Palestine was at one point in time a shepherd or shepherdess. It usually fell to the youngest child to take care of the flock. Now, sheep require a lot of care. I don't know if anyone here has ever raised sheep. I've never kept sheep myself, but I had a friend who was a professional shepherd. And they take a lot of care because they're really pretty stupid creatures. One of the things that sheep do not know how to do is eat. Now, if you take a sheep to, you always have to lead a sheep to pasture. They're not like horses. They can't find their own grass for them. You have to lead them to a pasture. And you have to watch how much they eat, because they will eat grass all the way down to the ground and occasionally keep trying to eat it. They don't know what happened. They don't know where the grass went. And they will completely destroy a field so there'll be no more grass there for the next group of sheep that come by. So a shepherd has to watch the flock and constantly tend and move the flock to fresh grass and to leave enough there for the grass to replenish for another day. Now, shepherds also have to protect the flock, because domestic sheep are not like the bighorn sheep of the mountains. They have no means of defending themselves. So you always had to protect them from predators. And they're very gregarious creatures. Sheep always follow one another around. So if one sheep starts to wander off, pretty soon they'll all wander off with it, and not realizing they're getting very lost and could find themselves in a very dangerous position. So the shepherd was always very attentive. And one of the things that even today, if you go to the Middle East, you will find shepherds who lead their flock with their voice. They'll talk to the sheep, or they'll sing to the sheep, and the sheep will follow their voice. Now, John and Jean Logren aren't here today, but Jean told me the story that they cared for a lamb once. You know, she's involved in the Missouri Historic Farm down there, and And she and her family were taking care of a lamb that had lost its mother. And so they were feeding this lamb and caring for it. And her daughter especially was involved in raising and tending for this lamb. Well, her daughter happened to be having a bad case of sinus allergies at the time. And so she would sneeze a lot. And she'd feed the lamb and she'd sneeze. Well, for as long as they had that lamb, if her daughter sneezed, the lamb would come running. Because she associated that sound with the one who cared for her and fed her. Now, my daughter, Becca, she keeps animals. She's got lots of animals. And she always trains her animals to come to a little tune that she whistles. She's got this little tune. It's only four or five notes. But if she whistles the tune, her animals come running to her. Now, I'd like to say it worked all the time, but creatures like some people I know, well, like me actually, are more stubborn than others. Do you know anybody who's stubborn? Well, I'm afraid I fall into that category. I can be very stubborn. But God calls us as pastors, which is just Latin for shepherd, to care for the flock. And it's the responsibility of the pastor to feed the flock. And we feed the flock in a variety of ways. One way is the Eucharist. It's the responsibility of the pastor to see to it that the congregation, that all the people of the church can come to receive this Eucharistic meal often. Not just on Sundays, but on weekdays. If you're sick, the pastor should make sure there's a deacon or a minister to bring the heavenly food to you. It's our responsibility to feed the flock. But we also do that with the Word of God. We feed the flock with the Word of God. That we open the Scriptures to the flock, especially the Gospels. Because Jesus is the perfect revelation of our faith. And so we share to you from the Gospels so that we feed you with the words of Jesus. And sometimes, because we can become overwhelmed with the chances and changes of our lives, we need a little special spiritual direction or counsel to know where to go. And it's the pastor's responsibility to know when you are having a struggle, having troubles, and to help guide you through that time. So it's the pastor's responsibility to feed the flock. It is also his responsibility to protect the flock from false teachings or from dangerous concepts and ideas that arise in the church. And that's usually a very thankless job, you know, because everybody thinks they're right and they don't want the priest to show up and tell them they're wrong, right? Fortunately, that we don't have to do that very often, because as long as we are feeding you correctly, feeding the flock correctly from the Scriptures, from the Gospels, then it's really the Holy Spirit's job to convict each of us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And so we kind of do our part and let the Holy Spirit do their part, his part, and everything works out okay. But the most important function, the most important job of the pastor, actually it's the important job of all Christian people, is to listen for the voice of the shepherd. To know the direction that the shepherd, the good shepherd, is leading his flock. And just as each of us as individuals need to listen to the voice of the good shepherd to know how he is leading us. And the song of the good shepherd is sung in our hearts. And it is a song of peace and of contentment, of wholeness, and fulfillment. We listen for the voice of the shepherd. And sometimes it's hard to hear the voice of the shepherd. Why is that? Well, we've never lived before, but there's never been in the history of mankind a time when there have been so many distractions. There are so many noises out there, so much entertainment, so many responsibilities and stresses. So many places to go, so many places we can go. Just think of how much travel is available to us here in this generation that was not available 100 years ago. How many entertainments and distractions can confuse us, so we can become so enamored with the cacophony of noises around us that we don't take that time to sit quietly and listen for the voice of the shepherd. Now, in my own life, in times I've heard the voice of the shepherd, I don't always want to go where the shepherd wants me to. Have you ever had that experience? Believe that God was leading you in a direction, but you just didn't want to go there? You had made up your mind to go in a different direction, and you just didn't want to change. I've had that experience. And there are times that I've heard the voice of the shepherd, and I've wanted to go there, but I couldn't figure out how to get there. You hear the voice, but you can't figure out how to find him. And I've had that experience as well. But I've learned to listen. I've learned to listen. It's taken a long time. But how did I learn to listen? Well, in the silence and stillness of quiet, contemplative prayer, we can learn the voice of the shepherd. And one of the things that I share with people, if you want to learn how to listen to the voice of the shepherd, spend time in stillness, practicing what the ancients used to call hesychastic prayer, where you just sit quietly and you breathe deeply and you begin to meditate upon a prayer or meditate upon the scriptures. I tell people, take the Gospels, take those words of Jesus and slowly meditate. Pick a small passage, not a big one. Breathe deeply. Focus on the words of Jesus. Meditate upon them and let Jesus, the Holy Spirit, speak to you through the words of Jesus. As we spend time in stillness, listening to Jesus, we learn to hear his voice. We learn the voice of the Good Shepherd, and he will begin to speak to us. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us direction. And I don't know about your experience, but in my experience, the Holy Spirit almost never gives me direction when I'm in prayer. It's always when I least expect it, all right? When I'm asleep, all right? And the Holy Spirit wakes me up in the middle of night. And then I've got to get up and write it down because I know I'll forget it by the next morning. Or when I'm driving and I have to pull over and write things down because I'll forget it by the time I get to wherever I'm going. I'm so grateful for cell phones that have a record function so I can just really quickly record things, right? You know these? Or in the shower. Why does the Holy Spirit speak to me in the shower? I don't know. I guess it's because one of those times when your brain is just kind of blank, right? You're not thinking about a whole lot of things. And the Holy Spirit can speak to us then. But only when we learn to listen to the song of the shepherd, that song of peace, that song of love, that song of contentment and fulfillment, that song of wholeness, that we can begin to hear the direction that God has for us. Find where the Good Shepherd is and go to him and to sit at his feet, to eat the grass that he has prepared for us, that we can find peace and fulfillment and true joy in our lives. And when we hear the song of the shepherd, run to him, and always stay close by.